It's Monday, September 13th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 799. Yes, one more to show 800, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get three domains at $5.99 each using promo code 599GEEK. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you today. Got a lot to talk about. And of course, again, one more show to 800. So you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the heartland of Texas via the Geek News Central portable studio. And yes, we are on board the International Space Station trainer here, courtesy of a green screen illusion. Everyone, welcome to the show. And of course, I want to welcome all of the Ohana and longtime listeners and fans from around the world. Thanks for being here. And of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And really, when you get over to Geek News Central, it's a piece of cake to definitely check everything out and give the give the site a run for its money, because we've got lots of great content on the website, lots of tech being written. We've got lots of great content being put up as well. Of course, I do this show twice a week, every Monday and Thursday. We do Saturday morning tech when I'm in Honolulu. There is the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, and a periodic Chrome show. So I want to thank all of you for getting over there and definitely checking the website out and making sure that... As you're over there, you get subscribed to the show. That way you'll guarantee to really never, ever miss a single episode of the show. And of course, we want to thank you for being continued subscribers here to the show as well. Of course, if you want to reach out to me, it's real easy to do so. You can do so via Twitter. And via Twitter, it's at Geek News is the Twitter address. And of course, you can email the show, geeknews@gmail.com. And you can call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for you. And definitely take advantage of those ways to contact the show. Hey, you know that we're coming up here on show 800. And what I would like to do is ask a favor for all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show to, you know, send in your special moment. What did you like? What is a show that rang out in your mind? Things that we've done in the past. Definitely consider sending in a comment, and we definitely appreciate it. But we'll be taking a look back on show 800 of where this show has come from and where, and basically also where we're going. So it should be a lot of fun to put show 800 together. Of course, only one show in Honolulu, and then I'm going to be getting on an airplane and heading to, I guess for a better word, an undisclosed location. I'll share it with you on show number 801. And 802, I'll be in the location I'm going to be at for that. So stand by for a fun show, show 801, 802. It's been a very busy week here in Texas. Got a little rain today. It was kind of nice to see that. It broke the, it really hasn't been that hot. It's been in the 90s. And able to break the heat nicely, letting things cool down here a little bit and the humidity's up. They say it's going to rain tomorrow as well, but I pack up and get ready to head back to Honolulu Saturday. So there's going to be no Saturday morning tech show this coming Saturday. I'll be airborne going home, and then I've got a quick turnaround to get ready to head off to my next location. Almost said where I was going next, but I tell you, this show is sponsored, of course, in part by my good friends over at GoDaddy.com. Talk a little bit about GoDaddy here in a few minutes as well, about some things they announced on their outage earlier this week. But definitely want you to take an opportunity here to consider getting a GoDaddy product. We've got a great special for you this month with the dot-coms. I've got 599 dot-coms. You can get up to three of those at, again, at $5.99 each by using the promo code 599GEEK. You can always visit my website at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy to find all of my codes. I have codes for savings from 15 to 20% off. I get cash back offers. We've got dot-com renewals, SSL certificates, you name it, everything there. There's a code there for every occasion, and we want to encourage you to use those codes and continue to support the show. So anyway, let's talk just a little bit here before I get into the regular content about the announcement that GoDaddy made on, did the show Monday. Tuesday, midday, they came out with an announcement. And I was a little bit curious to see how they would handle this this issue with them having a DNS server go down. And it wasn't a long comment. And I actually reached out to some folks there at GoDaddy, and everyone was pretty much on the same party line. Basically, number one, they weren't hacked. It wasn't taken down by that anonymous member. Second thing, they basically iterated that they blew it. They knew it and understand that people expect more from them, and they're going to work to make sure that this never happens again. And three, to talk about a little bit about the technical issue and some sort of a router issue that took them down. You know, so I'm hoping at some point they come out and talk a little bit more about what happened. They may not, you know, and it may be such a thing that they found a vulnerability in their system, in their procedures. But here's what I will say in their defense. I've been a customer of theirs since 2004. And in those years of being a customer for 8 years straight, this really is the first time ever that I'd seen them have an outage like this. I've had personal server issues before that were sometimes of my own doing. I've had hosting accounts that had some problems. I've helped some of you with hosting accounts that's had issues. But really, for 8 years, they have been rock solid. And obviously, this outage that they have, and like we talked about on the last show, was a serious one, and one that I'm sure that they will not repeat. And I'm sure it was a big wake-up call over there for them. So I'm hoping that what we'll see here is another 8 to 10 years of rock-solid service from them. And even though they may not be able to claim 99.999% uptime on their DNS, that I think that they still can probably claim a very high percentage rate. You guys know that I stayed up online the entire time. My server was up on GoDaddy and didn't have any issues. And my secondary server was up, although GNC Show Notes was down. And the reason it was down was because it was on the actual shared hosting accounts. I'm sure many folks that were on those were the ones that had the big issues. And I gave you some instructions on how you could potentially mitigate that. But I think what they have done, and you know, and I can only speculate because they only told us so much, is that they probably put into place some redundancy and some new procedures. And one thing I know that they're good at is when they have an issue, they attack it very aggressively to make sure that it doesn't happen again. They learn by their mistakes and they move forward. And I think that's with any company. And that's what all you really can ask for is if they make a mistake, that they admit it, they apologize, and they move forward. But what I'd like to do tonight as a special offer, and the reason I'm going to do this is, you know, I feel a significant loyalty to all of you and promoting the product. If you are a GoDaddy customer and you have a hosting account, I'd like to offer you a small credit. And all you have to do is send me an email here at the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Prove to me that you use one of my promo codes to secure your product, to buy your product, and I'll offer you a small, showing my appreciation for you guys using the product, and at the same time, give you a little bit of a, if nothing else, a token of my appreciation for being patient and also continuing to support the show and supporting the sponsors. I got a couple of emails from folks on my my commentary from the last show. But, you know, I'm a stand-up guy, and I still believe in this product, and I'm glad that they have reached out and made the announcement they did. I would say that I would be a little bit happier if they went into a little more technical detail. But I know generally when companies do that, and I've got to thinking, okay, what would I do if Raw Voice had a similar incident? We would probably tell what we had to tell, apologize, and see what we could, you know, and reach out to our customers. And it looks to me this is what they have done. If any of you have had any experiences with them since the outage, I'd love to hear from you and what that was. But if you purchase a product from GoDaddy using one of my promo codes, a hosting product specifically, and you can prove to me that you did, basically email a copy of your invoice showing the discount, I definitely would be happy to throw a little token of appreciation back at you for continuing supporting the show and being a GoDaddy customer. So that's on me. That's what I'm putting forth as an offer. This is not nothing that GoDaddy has put on the table whatsoever, but I think it's important that you guys understand how serious I am and hoping that you will continue to be a customer over there. And let's hope that they got their issue locked up and they're not going to have this problem again. But I want to thank you all for letting me indulge here a little bit on the GoDaddy issue. So let me go ahead and let's move lateral here. And let me, what I want to share with you, one thing before we move on into the regular content tonight. I'm going to see if I, see one thing about being here at the Portable Studios, I can't do a seamless switch. I have to turn that off. I have to turn that on. And then I got to turn the green screen off, which doesn't make it easy. So anything that's green on the page gets whacked. I want to remind you that the 2012 8th Annual People's Choice Podcast Awards, the nominations kick off on October 1st. We've got our first three sponsors who have came on board as podcast sponsors, Comedy Forecast, The Other Side of Live, and the Pokemon Podcast, first three sponsors. We're glad to have them on board as a sponsor for 2012, the 8th Annual. And, of course, our goal is to raise enough money for the trophies. We have to raise a little over $3,000 this year for the trophies. And if you feel like supporting and helping drive traffic to the site, all you got to do is use the hashtag PCA12 in your tweets about the upcoming announcements or upcoming nominations. And one thing I want to do, too, is make sure that all of you know you cannot nominate my show. That's the one show you can't nominate because I'm disqualified, or any of the other shows at Geek News Central. So as much as you may love the Gadget Professor or Robot Underpants or the Chrome Show or Saturday Morning Tech, none of those shows are eligible to be nominated in the podcast award strictly because I'm the guy that runs this thing. So keep you aware of that and the rules, but definitely remember that to start building your list of shows that you want to nominate, there's 22 categories. You get basically one chance to nominate a show, and we want you to take advantage of that, really as soon as you can. So again, podcast awards, and we're still looking for folks that want to help out and be a reviewer. I've gotten some emails in from some folks that are wanting to be reviewers this year. And again, you can't be a podcaster to be a reviewer. Send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll get you on the list, and we'll basically get you hooked up so that you can review nominated shows after we finish the voting on October 15th. So that kind of wraps it up on what's going on with the podcast awards, and we're pretty excited about where we're moving forward with that over here over the next month or so as we basically move into the 8th Annual Award Contest. All right, fighting the yawns tonight. I apologize here. So let's talk about the iPhone 5. You know, one thing I did notice from the presentation that was made and basically the Apple's announcements is that Apple's secrets are not as secret as they used to be. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff leaked early on this one. And so You know, I think that we all kind of walked away with it with not a lot of wows. We walked away with, for a better word, a better understanding of what the product was going to have. Of course, it turns out that there was no NFC, which is it disappointing me that that didn't happen. But, you know, there is going to be some big changes to iTunes, and specifically for podcasts. When you get iOS 6 for your iOS device, you're not going to have a podcast any longer in the menu item that is in the iTunes section. You're going to end up with exactly, you're going to have to use the podcasting app. Oh, what happened? It doesn't like me doing that, does it? It's enough to send off the, change the white balance. Those of you watching the video, watch this. Okay, I'm going to lift the phone up here. That's just enough to throw it off. That sucks. This Wirecast does not do a great job in keying, even though it's doing a pretty decent job, I guess, for as dark as it is. But you have to use a podcast app to get podcasts from now on. It's not going to be in iOS 6. It's not going to be in the iTunes listing, even though it will be in the iTunes software. But lots of updates. But I think the thing that wowed me the most over the announcement on their press event was the iPod. The iPod Nano, the iPod Touch. Incredible. Incredible what they're doing with that. It's everything but a phone. So definitely you need to look at what they have available and what's going to be coming out online. And but yeah, really incredible. It really was. I'm impressed with that product line, and going to have to investigate it. So the question is iPhone 5 worth the money? And, you know, I'm thinking about it. I think it is. I think it's worth the money, especially if you're due for an upgrade. It's a little bit bigger, definitely a bigger processor, better graphics. It's going to be faster. A lot of things that many of you have already been experiencing with a lot of other mobile devices, but this was incremental and not so much new features per se, but they say there's 900 improvements, and I'm sure a lot of those are very minute and yet you would probably never notice, but we'll see how the iPhone 5 does in sales. Actually, we've been talking about making the switch from AT&T to Verizon. It's probably a good idea because the Verizon version is the only version that's going to be able to go global. So if you want the LTE roaming on iPhone 5, don't buy it from AT&T. I think you would have to go, Sprint or Verizon, because only Verizon Sprint iPhone models support international LTE roaming, which that's a big one for those of you that may travel international. But there was a little bit of comedy involved in the iPhone 5 announcement because the Jimmy Kimmel Show showed off, quote unquote, the iPhone 5. And you know, here's the funny part about this is that when they announced that, or when he did his skit, he basically walked around and showed people iPhone 4S. The segment has been making the rounds for good reason. They sent a reporter on the street to ask people what they thought of the new iPhone 5. And, you know, the handset isn't available yet, but most of those unsuspecting past buyers were absolutely gaga about it. And it shows how people have really jumped the shark when it comes to, you know, this Apple devices. They didn't even know they were looking at a 4S. So I think if you haven't watched the video, please do so. It'll give you a nice little chuckle because it's definitely an indication that most people have got no clue what is really out there, what's available, and what may be different or what may be same in their current devices. Now, Alan was a writer of that article at Geek News Central, and it was followed up by another article by Alan, who basically wrote an open letter to Apple where he was criticizing their connector. You know, basically the rest of the mobile dividers, all you really need is you plug it in via USB. There's no special connector needed for most phones these days, but definitely the connector has got people really bugged about this new, you know, this new skinny connector. Even though you can use it every which way, those of you that have devices, you're going to be pissed because the new intelligent Ultra Connect adapter, the adapter that goes from the small size to the big size, it doesn't allow you to do video out. You know, it's totally insane. You know, many of you have devices you're going to plug this into, and you're going to use that for working with, you know, the little thing. So why are they, it says video and iPod out, not supported. Now, what does that mean, iPod out? That means, it sounds like, if you have used the actual iTunes player, it doesn't sound like you can get audio out of the thing. So it appears the new adapter won't support, again, video and whatever iPod out is. But so you can't connect it and get video out of the system. So they've had that adapter for years to connect video up. So it's going to be a challenge for people that are trying to do basically presentations where they have been taking the video out of the phone or out of the iPad. I'm sure that new iPad will have a new adapter when that's announced, but they can't do demos on a television set with it because there's no way to get video out. They're probably going to come up with a whole new connector set, and you'll have to buy all new. So kind of dumb in that standpoint. Now, I did notice in their announcement that they have a whole bunch of new telecoms or cellcom communication companies that they're bringing on board. A Wisconsin regional carrier called Cellcom won't have to endure another long waiting period before it gets access to Apple's smartphone. The iPhone 5 will go on sale at Cellcom on September 28th, just a week after it rises at Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint. So, you know, that's not the only one. It's CGI, Appalachian Wireless, CSpire, Leap Wireless, and Cricket is going to get the device this month. So that's huge. And Cellcom has agreements with a lot of resellers, so they can basically have a huge footprint nationwide. So so anyway, definitely if those of you in Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula will have access to this immediately through Cellcom. But this is big, where Apple's basically deferring and letting the smaller carriers get access to the phone soon. Now, those of you that are business users, the iOS 6 update is going to bring in a whole bunch of new features where your business IT department can lock down the iOS 6 operating system. And basically, this new operating system is going to give those in the enterprise the ability to manage what you can have on your phone or not. And this is probably anger many of you. But again, it's called App Lock, and it's going to let corporate IT lock down the iPhone or iPad so that it just runs one predetermined application and new software cannot be installed by the user. And so what that's going to end up doing then is, while it's going to make it a pain for some people using it as a business practice, it is going to make them so that they can be used as a cash register or being able to use in a restaurant so that you just have a menu on board. So that's kind of cool, and we'll see if that's we'll see where this leads. But it could make it so you could put a number of applications on a lockdown if you're having it available for your customer to use. So pretty cool stuff, and probably a pain to some of you that are thinking, "Oh man, my IT department's going to have a heyday with this." All right, so the iPhone 5 sadly will not support simultaneous voice and data on Verizon or Sprint. So that is one of the things that you're going to be giving up by being on, especially with LTE. So, you know, that's the thing. That's the advantage Apple has. I mean, AT&T has, is you'll be able to do basically talk and data. So I don't know how many of you use that. I use that quite a bit. Matter of fact, I'm using the phone and I bring up an app and I make some notes or something. So that for me is a little bit of a challenge. But if you're not using that part of the feature very often, then don't worry. But again, iPhone 5 won't support simultaneous voice and data on Verizon or Sprint. So, you know, there's some discussions on why that's the case. And I'll have some links up in the show notes for you to review. All right, let's move off the iPhone 5 and let's talk about a supercomputer that was built. And wait till you guys see this. This is awesome. We've got a couple of folks that have built a supercomputer built from a Raspberry Pi and Lego. And this is very, very cool. So if you're, you know, basically what they did is they took a number of Raspberry Pis and they built a 64-node cluster. So this is pretty cool. You know, they basically, you know, it's an awesome way to build a supercomputer at a very low price. And, you know, they're real smart on how they did this. And this is a father and son that's showing this thing off. But they rack mounted it as well. And, yeah, a 64-bit version. And it basically put it together for about $4,000. And it runs a lot less than what a supercomputer would do. So looking forward to hearing exactly how this thing is going to be able to process stuff and what kind of actual performance they get out of it. But nothing else, a cool project. And at a decent price, but 64 nodes made out of the Raspberry Pi. All right, let's talk just a little bit about Mega Upload. Boy, oh boy, court is continuing. Court hearings are continuing. But months after Mega Upload raids and arrests, the fate of the site's users' data is still unclear. A final negotiation round between the involved parties essentially just went bust, and the Megalode defense team holding the U.S. Attorney Office responsible. They said they favor the Hollywood oligarchy over innocent consumers who lost access to the data. Mega Upload lawyer Ira Rothkin toward Torrent Frink. So it's been 9 months since the government seized that, and we've got individuals that want their kids' pictures back. They want documents that from their career back. They want baby pictures, you name it, but yet they're being held at bay. And the judge has got to rule yet. So, you know, and the judge didn't rule in July and didn't rule again now. So basically this data is still in limbo. And, you know, the Megalopol team is not, for a better word, mincing any words. So, but anyway, the hosting company apparently, quote unquote, is costing them $9,000 a day out of their own pockets to keep the Mega Upload servers intact. I don't know if that means they're in the racks plugged in or what, but $9,000 a day seems a lot to store some servers. Now, Apple has not, shied away from litigation. So today, Apple has sued a Polish grocery store over their domain a.pl. Of course, PL is Poland's. You know, they're basically their domain extension. So, can you believe this? Because it's Apple a.pl. They've sued, and this is ridiculous. It's a small deli site. And they say it's because its title is just a little too reminiscent of Cupertino-based company. So they do door-to-door delivery, and they go by the full name A.PL Internet. So this is just ridiculous. Here we go again with more litigation from Apple. We'll see how they do in a Polish court. We'll see if they do as well there as they've done in recent times here in U.S. courts and similar type of lawsuits and so forth, but a little bit over the top, and even their logo has nothing at all resembling Apple, so I don't know what the problem is. All right, the Portland Press Herald is reporting that Maine has its first tidal turbine. It's went online. This is the first in North America. So Maine's Ocean Renewable Power Company has started generating power for the grid from the bottom of Cobbs Cook Bay. And basically, they're using a turbine that's secured to the bottom of the ocean. And they're generating power. Now, they're not saying how much. They're not saying how much this thing actually generates, if it's a kilowatt or if it's hardly any power whatsoever. But Banger Hydro, who owns the lines, said that they are actually getting power delivered to the grid. And this is the first commercial power production in North America using tidal power. So this is an interesting move here. It's a tidal turbine. I guess that's what makes it unique. I would sure like to see what kind of power they're able to generate with this, and cost versus amount of energy being generated would be real cool. All right, those of you that are in Scandinavia, a Danish report says that Spotify may be offering HBO TV. And this is some additional speculation. We've seen some of this in the past, but rumors are flying that Spotify may be the folks to bring HBO to the Danish internet users. And the Spotify PR folks are not saying too much, which could be basically a sign that maybe they're getting ready to make an announcement. But that's an interesting move here. And obviously you're not seeing this in the U.S., but definitely those of you overseas, especially in Scandinavia or Danish areas, will be able to get this soon. All right, Lifehackers reporting that Blurity, B-L-U-R-I-T-Y, is an application that fixes blurry photos, makes them worth sharing, and it basically takes a picture that has been completely blurred and then cleans it up. There's a Mac version available as well. It's $49 for the actual application for the program. So if you're having issues with some, you basically got one shot and it's blurry, this may be the application for you to use. Also, there was a Kickstarter recently, and it was basically a home automation product. And the folks have released a $49 monostrip product. It's been released. This is basically the monostrip. Essentially looks like a mini power strip, but it has Wi-Fi and smart technology built into it. Basically, you plug this outlet into a standard wall outlet, and then plug your device of choice into monostrip. And the device is designed to handle even heavy-duty appliances. But once you have set up the monostrip and plugged in your device of choice, you can begin monitoring energy consumption and costs via the internet using an iOS app called Energy UFO. There isn't an Android or Windows phone app yet. There is an iPhone app. There are two models available, basically a standard US 120 and a European standard 250-volt version. The monostrip is available now for $49. And this is awesome. I definitely going to pick up a couple of these. It'd be a great way to monitor power in a home to see how much you're using. And if nothing else, give you a read on what's really going on from an energy consumption standpoint in your house. So this is pretty cool stuff. I'll have the link up in the show notes. This is an article that was right on geeknewscentral.com, written up by Alan. Great article, so definitely check it out. All right, now on the tech side, Microsoft has zapped a botnet found pre-installed with counterfeit Windows computers. So Microsoft announced today has taken action to disrupt an emerging botnet called Natol that used victims' PCs to connect to distributed denial service attacks. So basically, a company in China was building computers and selling them, and basically was loading illegal copies of Windows on, and they were also loaded with malicious software. And so there was like 70,000 machines that were on and available with this pre-installed, and Microsoft was able to get the main domain seized that was actually controlling the botnet. But this activity's been going back to 2008. But just imagine, you know, you buy a computer in China and it's got malware on it. So I guess that's what people get for not buying a computer that has a certified version copy of Windows on it. All right, Scoble has an article talking about Steve Jobs' legacy and how he personally brought Siri to Apple and saw that Siri had a contextual future. And that's one thing that's going to be on the iPod Touch. Siri is going to be on the iPod Touch, which is kind of cool. But apparently there was a big battle to get Siri, and Jobs basically was essentially, he berated his managers who didn't get why Siri was important. But there's a good video here. And of course, Siri's a company, and I'm sure you guys maybe were or were not aware of that. But Scoble's got a pretty good interview of the folks there and that team, and basically the story behind how they were kind of arm-twisted to come on board and work with Apple. So a pretty cool backstory to the beginning of Siri. All right, judges ruled that a school cannot ask for your kid's Facebook password. A judge has said no, and basically this was arose from a school basically demanding a password. And basically, the judge said that the school crossed a line, leading a federal judge to say that it violated the girl's basic rights. Of course, if you remember, the case involved the 12-year-old girl who used Facebook to basically diss the hall monitor, writing, "I hate a Kathy person in school because Kathy was mean to me." She had also used the social network to talk about naughty things with a boy. When one of her friends ratted on her, the girl wrote on Facebook, "I want to know who the beep toed on me." And then basically they got her password and was able to get in. So this is big here, that they're not going to be able to get into our social media accounts. And he says this girl has right to free speech, and whether it be right or wrong and whatever is being said, the school cannot get access to the Facebook account, which is the way it should be, really. All right, Apple's massive solar farm, they've got some pretty cool pictures from it. A TV station in North Carolina snapped some still video clips of the solar farm being built next to Apple's data center. And this is incredible. This is a 20-megawatt solar field, and it's huge. This is amazing. And I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to look at. Boy, I tell you, why can't we get this going in Hawaii? You know, something like this. Largely because the land's too doggone expensive. That's why. But, man, it's pretty amazing here. It's on 100 acres. And, again, it generates 20 megawatts. And Apple's also building another 20-megawatt solar facility nearby for a combined total of 40 megawatts it's going to be putting into the grid. That's a lot. I remember when I was living in Guam, they had two 65-megawatt generators that was required to, and that wasn't even enough. That was their big heavy haul to power a part of the island. So 20 is huge from a solar perspective. But again, only creating power when the sun's out, for sure. All right, now here's one that's a little bit interesting. It's official. If someone uses your Wi-Fi, your unsecured Wi-Fi, you are officially not responsible for adult material stolen with your unsecured Wi-Fi. Basically, a judge has ruled here that that this guy is not to be held liable. And the judge has basically upheld he had no duty to secure his internet connection. And then, so that's pretty interesting here. Now, so you're officially not responsible for adult material stolen with your unsecured Wi-Fi. So let me read this a little further. A judge just ruled that since Hatfield didn't know about it, it wasn't his fault. And there were the group that was suing him said that he was responsible for knowing so, and he should have. But this is pretty big. Might be a new defense for people. I had open Wi-Fi. I didn't know that anybody was getting in and getting materials off that. Hey, also, you want to see what a stolen BMW can do? Well, if you steal a BMW SUV, you can drive it into an Apple store and clean up. But it didn't work out that way. So two crazy folks broke through the glass of a Los Angeles Apple store with a BMW SUV to rob its iPads, iPods, and iPhones, and were nabbed red-handed because the license plate got stuck in the metal grating. The pairs pled non guilty to multiple felonies in court. They did not get away with what they wanted, but they did crash the store trying to. So, got hung up by a license plate. That's kind of funny, yeah. All right, new JavaScript technology is going to be speeding up Firefox 18. You know, JavaScript is being used by an increasingly greater number of websites, even though it's had some issues here recently. Mozilla Firefox 18 is set to be a speedier platform. The Mozilla team is claiming that including a new JavaScript technology in its upcoming browser release will help it load sites with using JavaScript up to 26% faster. So we'll see how this works, and if this actually is the case. And it's a considerable increase over Firefox 15 and 17. I never read USA Today. Matter of fact, I get USA Today papers delivered to my hotel, and I just like kind of roll over them when I go out. Matter of fact, I ask the hotels not to deliver newspapers to my room because I don't read newspapers. But apparently this coming Friday, USA Today is going to have launching a new redesign of their website. And they're hoping it's a canvas for web advertisers. And basically, it's a new way to interact on a web page. It's going to be launching beta on Saturday, not Friday, excuse me. So if you want to look at some new design on how websites are supposedly this is going to be the way to work, think about checking it out. It's going to be similar to how Flipboard works. So be aware, if you like Flipboard, you may like the new USA Today redesign launching this coming Saturday. My wife is on Zillow all the time, and she probably didn't know about Trulia, but Zillow has sued online real estate rival Trulia over patent, of course. So, you know, Zillow raised $150 million in a public offering of its shares after an IPO in 2011. So they get enough cash, I guess, to sue U.S. rival Trulia, which is almost a public company, but not quite. So at the heart of the Zillow's complaint is its Zestimates product, which basically values property with sophisticated proprietary algorithms. So basically, Zillow is saying that Trulia has infringed on that patent technology, and they want them to pay. All right, Western Digital. You know, this is a hard drive company that I have not had a lot of success with in recent years. I've had major challenges every time I bought Western Digital drives. They've caused me issues. They've crashed. Just didn't seem to last as long. Recently, I've been using mostly Toshiba drives. They seem to last a lot longer. But Western Digital is coming out with helium-filled drives, and they're promising a huge boost in capacity. So this is kind of interesting here. They're preparing to launch a line of hard drives that are filled with helium gas. You know, helium is on the wane. There's shortages in helium. And so I don't know how far this is going to go and how long this will be able to, you know, help them. But, of course, it wouldn't take much helium in a hard drive, but it's definitely going to be sealed. They're saying that the helium gas is said to drastically reduce internal friction and thus lower power consumption by 23% while increasing capacity by 40%. So these hermetically sealed drives are filled with helium, which is 1/7 the density of air. And they're going to be putting these in 7,200 RPM drives. It causes the drives to operate at temperatures that are 4 to 5 degrees cooler than most drives today. And here's another thing to think about too. Helium's not going to hurt you if the drive leaks, so there's not an environmental issue with there. But the helium gas-filled drives will let the folks at Western Digital increase overall platter count from 5 to 7, which is interesting, which allows them basically to store more on. So they're saying that they're going to offer 4-terabyte drive of 4 terabytes of capacity and a 5 internal platters, and they're going to go to 5.6 terabytes on a 7 platter drive. So, wow, this is huge. But anyway, we'll see when these get on the market and how much they actually cost. All right, there's a great picture on Universe Today of the Curiosity put forth. This one here, all these pictures are just incredible. You can zoom in and see different stuff. It's a great picture. I'll have the link in the show notes. A bunch of these have been coming down from Curiosity. They've been sending stuff out. So, again, fantastic, just fantastic images for sure. And the drivers are definitely looking at the dirt. They're not looking at the horizon, so you kind of get a feel for it. But very, very cool Curiosity pictures on Universe Today. Now, as well on Universe Today, the moon from Earth as you've never seen it before. And let me just load this picture for those of you that are watching. Let me bring this up real quick and see if I can actually, you can see a little bit. It's a little dark in the image, but this was done from a telescope in a guy's backyard. Nothing from an observatory or anything. So very, very cool. This is a pretty interesting image, and he's got a whole bunch more. So definitely you'll want to look at this in the show notes. You'll want to take a review of the variety of pictures he has. But pretty incredible what he's able to see here. And taking some nice shots. Hey, today's show, guess how I'm streaming it? I'm using my iPad, and I have it in basically where I can attach another device to it. So I'm basically tonight streaming from my iPad on Verizon. And so far, I guess everything's working out well for the stream, which is cool. So anyway, it's pretty awesome here that the stream is staying up and running fine tonight. So very, very cool. And that basically solved my internet issue here in the hotel room. And if I run out of bandwidth, it's relatively inexpensive to refresh and get a little more before the end of the month. Wait, France has convicted its first person under anti-piracy law, even though he didn't do it. A 40-year-old Frenchman living in a rural eastern France has become the first person ordered to pay a fine under France's controversial anti-piracy three strikes law, known as Hadabi. On Thursday, a judge ruled that the gentleman must pay $194 for failing to secure his internet, presumably his Wi-Fi connection, for ignoring the three warnings sent by the agency. So he's become the first person to be convicted under this new law, and he's first of 14 cases brought against French internet users who reached the third strike. So he says this is pure harassment and intimidation, and this was a statement made by a digital rights group. This is pure harassment and intimidation of this poor chap who doesn't even know what happened to him, and shows the absurdity of the whole scheme. Actually, the cases are completely empty of any evidence, with only IP addresses collected by private companies that no judge could ever accept as valid. So I guess this guy was complicated by the fact that he was going through a divorce. And after he received the first two warnings, he thought these were some sort of preemptive step of taking his own household offline. And he was getting stuff through his lawyer. He didn't know what was going on here. But local police apparently helped him get his computer cleaned and helped him get stuff locked down here. But the police claimed that he had used uTorrent, but they couldn't find it on the computer. So many long story here. This guy was just, had his Wi-Fi open, and someone used it multiple times to pull data down that they shouldn't, and he was the victim of those. Basically got stuck with a bill, and I don't know what this does for them for out years on using the internet. So that's all I got for content tonight. Kind of short on content. Having fun here on the show. And so here is my, got some email that came in, and some of the stuff we've already talked about on previous shows, so you guys know about this. But one thing that came in from Richard, he says, "Hey Todd, a video of a levitating drug in zero-G could make them more effective." This is from Wired. Thanks for sending that over, Richard. I appreciate it. Got an email here from Douglas. He says, "Hey Todd, I don't know if you've talked about this yet. I'm a few shows behind, but this is amazing. A main object going outside the solar system. Keep up the great work. This is basically Voyager to solar system. Bye-bye." It's another article on Wired. Got an email from Ken. He said, "Hey Todd, your recent experience with United Airlines, search for United Breaks Guitars. Watch the video." I've seen this before, Ken, and I actually referenced that in a letter I sent to United the other night. Got an email here from Steve. He says, "Hey Todd, I know I've been a critic of yours regarding your relationship with GoDaddy, but after listening to episode 798 and your sincere comments regarding the issues of their servers, I want to tell you that I've been wrong, that you are selfishly motivated. I hope you accept my apology for doubting that you have the best interests of Ohana in mind. Let's now see what GoDaddy's response is. Steve, here's the thing. We have sponsors for this show. The sponsors allow me to do what I do. And I have, I have a certain loyalty to them. And I believe in their product. It obviously, I was very upset like the rest of the folks on what happened earlier in the week. And, we talked a little bit at the beginning of the show about this. But, I still believe in their product. I really do. And to be honest with you, I have used other services. Even being on GoDaddy, I've had access to different types of accounts and services. And I'm going to tell you, nothing really compares to what they do. I really believe that. Proof in the pudding was with TPN.TV when we served all of our CES content from a GoDaddy hosted server, and it just sat there and cranked. It never failed. So I knew what the product could do. I was disappointed with their issue, and I remain a big fan. But let's hope that they have gotten this situation under control. We don't ever see this again, because it would be bad if something additionally happened, for sure. But appreciate your comments. And no, you don't have to apologize. There's no need to ever apologize to me on the show. Everyone is welcome to their opinion. But I appreciate that you're still a fan of the show here and continue to listen. I definitely appreciate it. Got an email from Hank. He says, hey, Todd, what happened if you show the iPhone 5 to the public, but in reality it's an iPhone 4S? Here's what. And he'd sent me the link to the Jimmy Kimmel live show. A number of you have done this, so I appreciate that. Got an email here from Tim, and I have to laugh. This is Tim's write-up. He said, hey, Todd, impressive, greatest thing in the universe. Well, not really, I guess. I was kind of hoping for a bit more, but I guess we can have more to look forward to with iPhone 6. He says, wins, bigger screen, faster processor, lighter weight, and finally access to 4G. Losses, I was hoping for a much better camera, no updated Retina display, though truth be told, you can't get much better anyways, and I was unimpressed with the new dock. Now we have to run out, buy a bunch of new accessories, and wait for China to make cheaper connector cables so I don't have to buy one for $30. Do you know that Apple's not licensing that connector, Tim? I guess I shouldn't feel bad about buying stuff from China since just about everything comes from there these days, like the iPhone 5, but I'm not paying $30 more for a cable that comes from China anyways, if that makes sense. Clearly can't say I'm overly impressed with iOS 6 in general, that is. I like a few things like a Siri upgrade, but I just don't use Apple services much in general besides that. Also, I use Google products almost religiously, and while I'll give Apple Maps a try, I think I'm going to stick with the new YouTube, Chrome, and Maps app that Apple provides through the App Store. And also, I won't read what you said additionally, but thanks for being here and being part of the family, Tim. I definitely appreciate it. Got an email here from one of our listeners. He says, wouldn't it be great if the iPhone 2012 announced tomorrow looked nothing like this? But if it does look like, and basically it's a link to a Chinese phone. Is that all? Did I already get that in the last show? Daniel, thanks for your comments. I appreciate it. I'm glad you like my comments. I appreciate it. I really do. All right, that was it. That's all I had for tonight, folks. Quick show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Be with us for show 800. Definitely going to be streaming at my normal time in Honolulu, 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is 11 p.m. Pacific or 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time. Of course, if you're not up and around, don't worry. You can catch the show on all the different devices like Roku, Boxy, Samsung TV, Google TV, you name it, we're on there. Of course, you can watch it on the website with your iPad, with your mobile device, listen along no matter where you're at, the gym, in the car. We want you to take the show with you. That's why it's important that you get subscribed. As a reminder, reach me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email the show here, geeknews@gmail.com. Looking for your show 800 comments. It is greatly appreciated for you being here and being part of the show tonight. It's been my pleasure to bring this to you. I'll have this up in replay, I think, after a little while, if everything works out. Otherwise, I'm going to sign off for tonight. Everyone, take care. Thanks for being here. Take care. and aloha.